I invite you to turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to speak to you topically tonight and somewhat different kind of a message than you probably have heard. But you'll understand why we do these things tonight. 13 years ago, I preached this message. And I've talked about it and referred to it down through the years. And I'd always thought about bringing it out again and just dusting it off a little bit. And some folk have said they'd like to hear what the Bible has to say on this subject. And so a couple weeks ago, the Lord laid it on my heart to bring this out, to dust it off. And so that's what I've done. And so we trust that with summer advancing and the way our society is, and talked about it for many years since I originally spoke the message, we're going to readdress the topic again tonight. I'm going to talk to you about what the Bible has to say about nakedness. And I know that sounds kind of odd, but we deal with it in our society, and so we're going to face it. I'm going to look at what the Bible has to say about that. And of course, you'll hear my interpretation. I'm going to give you my application on the text that we will consider. And I will give you my opinion in some areas and can't help but do that. But I do want to speak to you tonight what I've entitled Nakedness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given to us, the opportunity to be in your house. And we ask that you'd be with those who could not be with us due to sickness or providential hindrance, that you would bless them, heal them. We pray for Miss Lisa as she's so near to having a child, that, Lord, you'd bless her, bless the baby, that everything would go very well. Lord, just draw us to you, speak to our hearts. Cause us to honor you, and may we understand your word and teach us by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, talking about Adam and Eve after they were created, and it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, there's no intent tonight to really lay down any rules or guidelines that's not found in the Scripture. Everything that I say is going to be founded through the Word of God. I'm not going to attempt to try to bring any dress code. I don't think there's a necessary need for that. Not even hinting at one. I will give you my opinion based upon Scripture. My purpose tonight is just to expose to you what the Bible has to say on this subject and to give you the references. And I intend to treat the subject discreetly and with dignity and with fairness. And as I've mentioned, there is no doubt in our mind that we have a problem with this in our society. And so it is worth our consideration because we have to address this. We have to address it in our own lives. We have to address it with our families. And so it's worth seeing what God has to say about it. And it's worth learning. And so I want to talk to you tonight about nakedness. The first thing I would like to do is share with you the terms that are given to us in the Scriptures and for the English language. And the word that's translated from, and the Hebrew and the Greek, take, for instance, the word naked that's translated. You look through the Scriptures, you get a concordance, look up the English word naked. That comes from a Hebrew word in the Old Testament. And there are three words in the Old Testament that's translated naked in the English language. And one of them means to be nude, either partially or totally naked. And this comes from a main root of a Hebrew word, which means to be or to make bare. Some Hebrew scholars have defined it in this way. It's the idea to strip flesh from a bone. Or to take a, have you ever taken a branch when you were young and you strip the leaves off of it and you have that bare branch? That's the idea that's behind that word. It is to strip leaves from a tree. So you have the idea of what it is to be naked or nude, either partially or totally. Another word that is translated in the English just means simply nude or nakedness. And then the third word means to loosen. It means to expose. It is to make bare or to uncover. And we're familiar with the English definition of naked. And that's what the Hebrew terms bear out. And it's rightly justly translated as naked. Now, if you look into the concordance and find the word nakedness, as is expressed in the Old Testament Scriptures, that word means exactly that. It's nakedness. It's a nudity. It also comes from the idea of being shameful. And you will see this as we go through the Scriptures. The word bare, the English word bare, two Hebrew words One means to make bare. It is to be bare. And again, those Hebrew scholars says that's to strip oneself or to be laid bare. We know what that means in the English. And the other Hebrew term means to strip off, to make naked, and to discover or to uncover. All those are very close, aren't they? They all convey the same sense and the same meanings. Now, there's one Greek word that you find in the New Testament scriptures, and that's translated as naked. And the word means naked. It means without clothing. It means to be destitute of proper and sufficient clothing. It can also mean to be clad only with an inner garment or a tunic. It's the idea of being bare. So with these definitions in mind, we certainly know and understand the English meanings. Now, that's the same kind of concepts that's found in the original language. I want to give you some basic principles before we look into the other scriptures, and you might want to write these down. I'm not giving you every reference that you can find if you go through and look up every word for naked and nude and bare and all that. I'm not giving you all those terms. I'm giving you those things which, and you'll see the logical, I trust logical application, and revealing to you what the Bible has to say about this. And before I do that, I want to give you some principles as we define and see what the Bible has to say, some principles that's going to be derived from these things. And the first principle is this: God made us naked, and you know what? We're still born naked. I mean, it's just simply true. We read in the scripture there in Genesis chapter 2, we're going to readdress that in just a few moments as we get into the scriptural verse references. But Adam and Eve were naked, and they were not ashamed. When there was no sin, human nakedness was appropriate. Nothing wrong with it. But when sin entered, it was considered shameful, and their nakedness was covered. And we'll look at those verses in just a few moments. But, you know, I saw the birth of both of my children, and you know what? Neither one of them came into this world with clothes on. Both of them come into this world naked. Every person ever born in this world is born naked. God made man naked. People birth naked children. And the second principle is the definition of naked does not change, although the perspective and permission does. In other words, when we look at the scriptural definition of what I believe the scripture is telling us about what it is to be naked, that's what it is. Whether society accepts it or doesn't accept it, whether we accept it or don't accept it, it's going to be naked. For instance, the society has all sorts of views about what naked is. Nowadays, you know, you can practically see everything as you go down the street. 100 years ago, it wasn't that way. 200 years ago, it was even more conservative and so forth. As time has progressed, society has changed, and more skin is in. And that's just the way it is in our society, and yet society accepts that. And more they're accepting that, where they have nude beaches now, and you know, you can go to those places, and there's all kinds of places where you can encounter nudity and absolute stark nakedness, and it's acceptable. That's society says it's okay. Just because society says it's okay doesn't mean that it is. Doesn't mean that it changes the term. Doesn't change the definition. Truth of the matter is, if I want to sit around my house without my shirt, that might be acceptable in my home. But it still would be considered naked by biblical definition. And so that's what you have to understand, that even though society might have their views, then it's still not going to change the Bible definition. I don't know about you, but I'm getting up in years now, and I went to school in the 70s, and where I went to school, we went to public high school. We had community showers. I don't know if public schools have community showers anymore or not. I have no clue. But we had community showers, and what that meant was all the guys showered in the guys' locker room, and all the girls, they had the girls' locker room. But they just had a great big room with all the shower heads out there, you know. And so every gym class, when you went through the gym and you had to go take a shower, you had 30, 40, 50 guys running through there naked, you know, going to the shower. Well, that was acceptable. That was permissible. Guys with guys and girls with girls. And so they had community showers. Well, it's still naked. Might be acceptable in some degree, but it was still nakedness. And certainly within the bounds of marriage, nakedness is acceptable, isn't it? And of course, the thing is there's a difference between being private and public. And when you start going outdoors, that's a little bit different story. And so you might come into my house. If you do, if you surprise me and I don't happen to have a shirt on, then you might see me half naked. But if I know you're coming and you don't surprise me, I'll have a shirt on, even in my own house. But if I have a shirt on in my house, you won't see me go out without one. Just rarely, if ever, do that. And so you'll find that these things are still Bible, regardless of what society thinks or what you and me may think. Let me share with you an article, and I shared this with you 13 years ago, so that dates the article. But just get the gist of this. This is an article on a Christian nudist colony. Now, to me, that is a complete contradiction in terms. But these people who are defending it says, when God created man, he created man in his own image and in his own nakedness. Well, God created man in his own image. I don't think there's anything about God's nakedness. But God did make man in his own image, and this guy's trying to defend the nudist colony. And they were recently visited because they had a Christian conference. Christian conference in a nudist colony. So they were talking to some of these people that attended this conference. And it says, quote, we've enjoyed nudism for 3 years, but we felt there was something missing. Well, we know what that was. It was clothes. But, they said, well, something was missing. The message we heard is Christ is first. Nudism second. Bringing Christ out first wherever we go. That just doesn't go with me in my thinking. Another person said, we are Christians first and nudists next. Another person said that they hope to have a minister begin preaching some Sunday services. That's just unbelievable to me. And that was 13 years ago, 14 years ago. Can you imagine what people would do today? But that's the way people think. The Bible's not going to change. The Bible definition is going to remain the same. The principles are going to remain the same, regardless of what society does. And so we have to apply a biblical principle to us, and then we'll be better off if we do. The third principle I want to give you is, there is no doubt that the shades of nakedness, quote, shades of nakedness, depends upon an acceptance or a rejection criteria. For example, if someone come to you and say, and I'm using a parallel example, how long should a guy's hair be? We'll say, well, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. The first question they come back with is, how long is long? That's the first question. And so if we talk about nakedness, and we say, well, the Bible says we ought not have nakedness. You know, it's a shame to be publicly naked and things like that. The first thing they'll go is, well, what's naked? And that's kind of one of the purposes of the service, and to teach what the Scripture, I believe the Scripture teaches about what is naked. But you know what? People are going to have different shades. And they're going to believe some things in some areas, and some cultures believe different things. I mean, in some cultures, it's perfectly acceptable to run around with nothing on. That's what they've always done. And, in our culture, we clothe. And more in our culture, we disrobe. But where you're going to define that nakedness from a personal view or from a public view, it's going to depend on what people believe and what they accept or don't accept. Or even now, if I show them the Scriptures, they'll go, well, that's your opinion. It's your perspective. But we understand there are different shades of nakedness. We'll discuss a little bit more about that a little later on. But again, I want to remind you, number four, that before sin entered, nakedness wasn't shameful. Afterward, it was. Wasn't anything wrong with Adam and Eve running around without any clothes on. But afterwards, after sin entered, it was wrong. By the way, let me toss this out to you. Do you realize that human beings are the sole moral creatures? Because human beings are the ones that realize when they're naked, they put on clothes. You've never seen an animal ever that when they discover that they're naked, try to put on clothes. They don't do it because they don't have that moral aptitude. Man, being a moral creature, when he realized, I'm naked, then put on clothes. Every animal you see is naked. That's the way God made them. And so, but they don't try to cover it up, do they? And so, before sin entered, nakedness wasn't shameful. Afterward, it was. Number five, by definition, naked does not have to mean absolutely or stark or perfectly nude. So I might say, well, that person's naked. Well, that doesn't mean that they're running around with nothing at all. Biblical definition might say it's naked, but that doesn't mean that they're absolutely stark bare. So you need to understand that. And then, number six, and I just want to mention this unto you, that a wild, idolatrous party brought about nakedness. We'll make the biblical reference to you in a little bit. Drunkenness brings about nakedness. God's judgment brought about nakedness. So keep in mind that nakedness is spoken of as being shameful. In our society, it's completely opposite, isn't it? It's shameful if you cover up. But the Bible teaches otherwise. To uncover is shameful. And then, of course, with being uncovered, there's a warning which goes with nakedness, and that's the problem of lust. You have to watch out for lust. So we'll look at some of those verses as we go through. First of all, go back, Genesis chapter 2, you're still there. Notice God introduced nakedness, chapter 2, 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Chapter 3, verse 7, after they partook of the tree, then they sinned. And it says in verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Look at verse 10. And God came down and spoke, and they hid themselves, right? So it says, and he said, Adam, where are you? And he said, well, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Everything was okay till they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did, they sinned. Then they knew that they were naked, and they hid from God because they knew it was shameful. And God covered up that nakedness, didn't he? God made coverings for them. Job chapter 1. You remember what Job says after he was stricken with such affliction? In Job chapter 1. And if you don't have time to look at these or you don't want to turn to everyone, certainly write these things down. And some of them I'll give to you in reference and you'll just have to look them up later. But Job 1 verse 21. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true, isn't it? Naked came I out of the womb. Well, Solomon mentions the same thing. I won't look at the verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 15, if you're writing those things down, speaks about the same concept. We come forth from the womb naked. And so God introduced nakedness. He still does introduce nakedness in the fact that every child born is born naked. But what do? We clothe our children. We cover them up. Even as God made garments for Adam and Eve, and nakedness should be covered. That's what we're going to find as we look through these verses. And so what about nakedness? Let's think of it as relating to sin. Does nakedness relate to sin? Well, it absolutely does. I'm not going to turn to this reference, but you remember Noah, Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. He was naked in his tent. He was drunk. He was naked. And his son came in and saw him and brought a curse upon himself. Nakedness brought about sin there. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. I had mentioned this earlier. Exodus chapter 32, the Israelites, they were going through the wilderness. Moses was up in the mountain while he was gone. Aaron made himself a golden calf, and they began to dance and have a big party. Now, Exodus chapter 32 tells us that Moses, when he came down from the mount, saw something. Verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Notice the nakedness connection with shame. Moses came down from the mount. They're having this wild, idolatrous party, and they were all naked. Not all without exception, I'm sure there were varying degrees of nakedness. But the truth is, it related to sin and idolatry. So judgment came upon them. Over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, the word naked is not found here, but I think anybody with any sense and understanding at all would understand what's going on here. This relates to the story of David and Bathsheba. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, it says, "And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon." And we know that he called her in, he had an adulterous affair with her, she became pregnant, he ended up killing her husband, and what a mess that David made there. You know where it started? He just happened to not be able to sleep, and he happens to see this woman bathing herself. Now, she may not have been absolutely naked, but she was bare enough for him to get be attentive toward her and to be interested in her. And did that bring about sin? Certainly, nakedness brings about sin. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, 19, don't turn over there, just write that down. The scripture says that King Ahaz made Israel naked. What exactly was that? We just have the plain statement in Scripture. I believe through his instruction and leadership, they were disrobed. They were not covering like they ought to cover. And it might have been involved in other idolatrous practices, but Ahaz made Israel naked. It led to sin. Even in Lamentation, don't turn to this, but Lamentation chapter 4, verse 21, and Habakkuk 2, verse 15, talks about how that drunkenness leads to nakedness. And that's what happens. Doesn't drunkenness still do that? These people go out there and go bar hopping and all that, and they intend to try to find somebody in the bars. They know that the alcohol is going to remove the inhibition, get somebody drunk. They're out of control. They don't know what's going on. They don't even remember. Leads to nakedness, and it leads to sin, doesn't it? And so nakedness does relate to sin. Now, as I mentioned unto you, and I'm going to invite you to turn to Nahum chapter 3. Nakedness also relates to the judgment of God. Some folks say, well, it's okay to be naked. Well, sometimes nakedness is a result of God's judgment. Nahum chapter 3. I'm going to give you some verse references, and then we're going to look at this verse. Amos chapter 2, verse 16, if you're writing these things down. Hosea chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 17, verse 16. All speak about God performing judgment, and as a result, there was nakedness. In Nahum chapter 3, we'll look at this verse. Verse 5. "Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame." You say, well, that's just a figurative speech about the judgment upon them. Well, do you understand that back in that society, it was very common among the enemies that when they took captives to strip them and to run them in big lines and they'd chain them together and take them away captive, and their nakedness was exposed. Well, we're not so unfamiliar with that, are we? I mean, anybody that knows anything about history, go back to the 1930s and 1940s, and we know what Adolf Hitler did and the German regime. As they took the Jews and put them into those concentration camps, they stripped them naked. You say, well, that's under the pretense that they were going into the showers. But nakedness is a judgment, isn't it? And it was a judgment upon them. And so he judged them, and he took off their clothes, and he ran them into the showers, and he gassed them. And we don't condone that. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at scripture references, read those other three references I just gave you as well, you'll find that God will perform judgment to where the nakedness of an individual will be exposed, and the nakedness of a nation will be exposed. And it's God's judgment upon him. It's shameful, isn't it? There's a few other references I want to give to you in regard to nakedness. If you'll remember, and I'm just giving you this reference, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 24. Saul didn't like David too much. He was chasing after him all over the place. And David was with Samuel in Naoth of Ramah. And Saul went up to capture him one day, and the Spirit of God came down on him, and he began to prophesy. And it says there that Saul prophesied naked. Well, that's what it says. And in so much that they said, well, Saul, one of the prophets. I don't know that that would be an earmark to say, well, all the prophets were naked. But something went on there in a particular fashion that Saul completely changed his behavior, and he was prophesying. But the scripture says there that he prophesied naked. Another reference, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20. 2 Samuel 6, verse 20. David was rejoicing because he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And as they were bringing the ark in, he was dancing and playing around and jumping around. And his wife, Michal, looked out the window and accused David of being uncovered. And accused him of making himself a shame before the people. But the scripture says in verse 14 of that text that he had a linen ephod on. David wasn't running around there naked. But he had apparently taken off his outer garment and his kingly robes and was dancing in his linen ephod. And that was shameful. I would suppose you might be able to compare it to in our society. And not that you would compare the ephod to these things. But if you went outside in your underwear, I guess. The ephod was covered much more than what modern day undergarments do. But she accused him of being naked, uncovered, and ashamed. And she died childless as a result of that accusation as well. Another reference, Isaiah chapter 20, verse 2 through verse 4. You can make out of this whatever you wish, but Isaiah walked naked for 3 years. You know why he did? For a sign to Egypt and Ethiopia. What was that sign? Judgment was coming. Because of your judgment, you're going to be ashamed. And it's going to be a shame to Egypt. And so Isaiah walked naked. Was he absolutely naked? I doubt that. But biblically, he was defined as being naked. He walked 3 years naked. And then turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 5. But I want to make one other reference to the New Testament. And then we'll look at Mark. And then we'll look at this other reference. Over in John chapter 21, verse 7. Peter was naked while fishing. Now, that's what the Scripture says. We're going to look at that verse in just a moment. And we'll get an understanding of that. And I already told you the Greek term for that and the Greek definition for that word naked. But the last point I want to give to you before we define nakedness according to the Scripture, I've given you all these references to talk about what the Scripture has to say about nakedness, and you can get definition from these things. You can see God's approach and God's perspective and what nakedness does. Mark chapter 5, notice verse 15. What we have in Mark chapter 5 is the account of the demoniac of Gadara. And this guy was a wild, crazy man. You can look back into verse 3 through verse 5, how he just ran through the tombs and they tried to bind him. They couldn't keep him bound. And he was just a crazy guy, cutting himself, crying out all the time. And verse 15, after Jesus came and healed him, cast out the demons, you know. And remember, they went off into the herd of swine. They ran down the hill, were choked in the sea. People of the city came out to see what in the world happened. And it says in Mark chapter 5, verse 15, they come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. He had a demon-possessed guy running around the tombs, either absolutely naked or partially clothed. But the Scripture says after Jesus healed him, after he was pure, then he was clothed. Now the Scripture makes a statement of that, I believe, to define the difference in this fellow. He was clothed. So turn, if you would, to John chapter 21. Let's look at this reference about Peter being naked. John chapter 21, verse 7. Jesus had raised from the dead. Jesus had told his disciples to go up to the Sea of Galilee and to wait for him. A handful of them went up there, and while they were waiting, Peter decided he's going to go fishing. Gets out into the boat. They were out fishing while they were out there all night. They hadn't caught anything. But Jesus comes to the shore and cries out, speaks to them. They make a great catch and all that. And John leans over to Peter and says, hey, you know, it's the Lord. And notice what it says in chapter 21 of the book of John, verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord now. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, the Scripture says, and he cast himself into the sea. Was Peter absolutely stark naked? Highly improbable. Probably had some sort of loincloth or some sort of undergarment. Would that be uncommon for fishermen to do that? No. It was a very common thing. Would that be any problem with all the guys out there in a boat out in the middle of the lake? If he wanted to fish like that, he could. Well, that was acceptable, wasn't it? But the Bible says he was naked. And when he found out it was the Lord, What did he do? Well, he put his coat on him, and then he cast himself in the sea, and he put on his coat. Now, the word coat in the text here means the outer or the upper tunic. The main root of this word means to cover or to put on or put in addition to. And so he was covering himself up, put on that extra garment, lunges himself into the sea to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the tunic is defined as a simple slip-on garment with or without sleeves, usually knee length or longer, belted at the waist and worn as an under or outer garment by men and women of ancient Greece and Rome. What would it be? Well, just think of it as a man's t-shirt that's real long and goes to the knees. That would be a tunic, with or without sleeves. And it would go to the knees or longer. Both men and women would wear them. What's covered when you wear a tunic? From here to the knees. That's what's covered. And Peter was not covered like that. He was considered naked. So he put on that covering and got into the sea and swam to Jesus. Now, one of the commentators says that this was an upper garment of the Syrian fishermen. And the context seems to show that it was a sort of garment which a fisherman laid aside in the very act of handling the nets. That would be a very difficult task. They would probably take off an outer garment like that. And I continue. When we read that Peter was naked, I see no reason why we should suppose that he was entirely without clothes. I think the meaning is that he was comparatively naked. I remember in college one time I told a guy, I said, look at that fellow over there, he's half naked. And he said, well, which half? Now that was a comical response, but we use that term, don't we? Well, they go out half naked. You look half naked. Well, what is it? You're not absolutely naked, but you're showing more than you should show, and say, well, you're half naked. And so I would say here in that sense of the term that Peter was probably half naked. And when he found out it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, which covered him from the neck to the knee, and into the water he went. Now, there are other items of clothing in the Scripture, not just the tunic, that would define for us what nakedness is. There's a term that's translated into English, which are called breeches. Let me give you Webster's definition of breeches before we look at the language here. Breeches are short trousers covering the hips and the thighs and fitting snugly at the lower edges at or just below the knee. Aren't those knickers? Are knickers still? I don't know. You see a baseball player, the uniform comes down and just below the knee. That's the idea. That's what breeches are. From the waist to the knee, right at the knee or below. Now, according to definition for the Hebrew term for the breeches, they were a priestly garment. That's what they were, made of linen. They were also called, and I have a hard time pronouncing this correctly, drawers or drawers. How is it? I'm not sure, but it's drawers. Drop your drawers. You know, you go to the doctor and say, drop your drawers. Well, that's the idea. Now, the breeches were a priestly garment that covered the loins to the knee. Now, breeches are trousers or drawers. There's a Hebrew word for the word drawers, even. And the word means the sense of hiding. The plural word, which is drawers, not just drawer, but drawers, is really the idea of concealing the private parts. So you get the idea of what breeches do and what drawers do. It's a concealing, isn't it? It's a covering up. Webster defines drawers as an undergarment for the lower body. So we know what all this means, don't we? So you look at the items of clothing, what they cover. What does the Bible have to say? Well, let's look at the instructions in the Scriptures. I'm going to give you three references, and then we'll look at some verses. And by these things, I'll give you some concluding remarks. We'll be done. And I've tried to be very brief on this. The first time I preached, it went way over an hour, so we're trying to be a lot more time conscious on that. But let me give you some what the Bible says about nakedness. There are some instructions in the Scripture. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 7 tells us that a result of our fasting is to clothe the naked. part of our fasting should be clothing the naked. Read it in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 1, or 18 rather, verse 1 and verse 16 tells us that a just man covers the naked. Now notice what the Bible is saying here. What righteous people do. Fasting, clothing the naked. Just man covers the naked. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15 says it's a shame to be naked. That's what it says. Notice these things, though. Exodus chapter 20. Turn over there, please. Exodus 20. I have five verse references I want you to look at, and then a warning, which will be a sixth reference, and then we'll be just about finished. But notice when you think about nakedness and shamefulness and where the Bible's directing us. In Exodus chapter 20, notice in verse 25 and verse 26 about the instructions for building an altar. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if you lift your tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar. Why? That thy nakedness be not discovered. Now think of that. What's the description given here? You want to build an altar, don't build steps up to that altar. Why? Because as you go up those steps and you go up high, that your nakedness would not be uncovered. So that people down below won't be able to see your nakedness. What would be the nakedness? Above the knee, wouldn't it? Ladies, you go through the, when you're in high school or whatever, even yet today, you have to be careful about open stairwells. Because teenage boys and others will stand down below and look up the stairwell. Do you know why? Because they can get a glimpse up your dress. And when you go upstairs, if you're not careful, you can expose your nakedness. Now, the scripture says that they were not to build an altar with steps because they didn't want to reveal their nakedness. What would it be? Going up too high, someone can look up. And the Bible says that was wrong, wasn't it? Exodus chapter 28. So do you get the idea that you ought not expose yourself? I do. Exodus chapter 28, look at verse 42. Talking about those breeches that I tried to give you a definition for earlier. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. The breeches covered the thighs. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. You'll notice in these verses that part of our service to the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in clothing the naked. Notice what you read in the passage. It speaks to those who are righteous. It speaks to those who are unrighteous. Notice, first of all, to those who are righteous. Matthew 25, verse 36, it says, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Look at verse 38. When saw we thee, stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And what's he say? Well, you done it the least of these, you done it unto me. Unto the unrighteous, he says, look at verse 43, I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Do you find and glean from that text that part of our responsibility as a Christian is to cover nakedness? It certainly appears to be. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 2, if you would. James chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that sometimes these needs arise and we are to help out. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. Sometimes it happens. We're supposed to help. And this is a matter about faith without works and all that, and how you're supposed to, well, be warmed and filled. Don't just tell them something. Help them. But it's a matter, if there's a need, then what? It talks about nakedness. Could it be possible someone be without clothing or sufficient clothing? Yes. Revelation chapter 3. And I realized this is a letter to one of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And I realized that people interpret the letters differently, and some interpret it as ages and different dispensations, and some as letters to these churches. Regardless of how you would interpret this, read Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Notice what it says, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Jesus' advice to the church was that the nakedness was to be covered. And notice it said that it was shameful if it was in appearance. Turn to one other place, Matthew chapter 5. I've tried to give you the instructions, definitions, places where the verses are used so that you can see what the Bible says about this and the particulars and these things so that you can glean from this the definition and the principle so that you can apply it to your life. Now, I mentioned before that there was a warning that nakedness can promote lust. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 says, "You've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And so what's the warning? Well, if someone looks, the lust, if it's there, is it already adultery in the heart, right? If you expose yourself and you parade your nakedness around, now you may not be stark naked, you won't get arrested. But you know what? You cause somebody to lust, I think you're accountable for that. I really do. I believe you're accountable. You say, well, I love swimming. And again, well, 100 years ago, you know, I saw Brother Dennis Riddick at a conference, and they were kidding about going swimming or something. And he said, well, I got a hole in my knee, you know, in his swimsuit. You know, he said, well, I got a hole in my knee. Well, it was just a joke and all that. But, I mean, back in the early 1920s, they wore knee to neck, and they were completely covered, weren't they? Nowadays, you can't even hardly tell they have anything on. Now, that's the truth of the matter. Now, I guarantee you, ladies, if you walk around, if you have any kind of figure at all, you don't even have to really have a figure. If you walk around with hardly anything on, a guy's going to lust after you. And you'll be accountable for that because you're promoting that. So there's a warning, isn't there? And so take what the Bible says and be careful and apply it, so that you can be on guard, so that you won't cause somebody else to sin. I recall an article that I read years and years ago, and this was up when I was up in Ohio, and that newspaper up there, they didn't have a whole lot going on, so every now and then what they would do is they would ask people their opinion, and they had an opinion column. And they would take these people's picture, and they'd ask them a question, they'd print their picture and put their answer underneath it. And I remember one time they asked these people, they said, what do you look forward to most about spring? And there were four people that answered, three guys and one girl. And the girl answered this, this is what she looked forward most about spring, and it was in the paper with her picture so that everybody could read it. Her answer was, what do I like most about and look forward to most about spring is guys in tight shorts. That was her answer. She went on record, public record. That's what she did. So, you know, it's a warning to guys too. Guys, watch how you dress. You can promote lust from a woman by the dressing improperly. And so there's a warning given here. Really, any way you slice it, you're going to find that when you look at the scriptures, and I'm going to give you some concluding remarks, and I'll try to be very timely on this. The Bible speaks of nakedness as being shameful. But between a man and his wife, is that shameful? You go outside, it is, isn't it? Go in public, it is. So I guess public nakedness is shameful. But it's still nakedness. So if I sit around in the house with no shirt on, then I could be biblically defined as being naked, but it might be acceptable in my household. But again, if you come over, I'm putting a shirt on. Right? So that's the idea. We cannot justify ourselves by saying it's hot or whatever. I preached this 13 years ago, And I had somebody come up afterwards and said, I know what you said, I know what the Bible says, but you know what? It's just hot. I know that. I live in the South. When I was in the North, I didn't buy it so much, but I've lived down here long enough. I know it's hot. But that doesn't change the definition. That doesn't change what I'm supposed to cover or expose. You say, well, I like to swim. We made the boy, when the boys swim, we always made them wear a t-shirt. Always. And they always had knee-length swim trunks. Knee to the neck. Neck to the knee. That's what we taught them. And that's because I believe that's what needs to be covered. And so, as we finish out, just think of what company that nakedness keeps. Where do you find nakedness? You can find them in a church pool party, I guess, if you had one. But that wouldn't be the right place, would it? Where do you find nakedness? You're going to find it in the wild party crowds. See anything on spring break, Mardi Gras, any of the bashes on TV? You know these people are naked. I don't watch cops, but every now and then you're swinging through the channels and you see cops or something like that. These people are running around with hardly nothing on. And wild party crowds, where do you find nakedness? You find it in the strip joints, don't you? You find nakedness in pornography. You find nakedness in the chorus line at Las Vegas. Never been there, don't intend to go, but I've seen pictures of it. Haven't you? Nakedness is there. Boy, we find it all the time on TV, more and more and more, don't we? Movies, television, they exploit nakedness. Why? Because people watch it. People will watch it. I understand that the statistics on... now I can't remember the thing. Victoria's Secret's catalog thing that they have on TV, more men watch that than women do. Now why are the guys watching the underwear thing with the women on the... Do you know why? Because they get to see nice-looking women with nothing on hardly. And so more guys will watch that show than women do. Why? Because there's a lot of nakedness going on there. Advertisers use nakedness all the time, don't they? Billboards, advertisements, TV, magazines, nakedness all over the place. And it doesn't have to be stark naked. But why do you think that they're trying to sell a car and they stick a girl out there in a bikini? What, that guy here in Memphis last year was having the girls out mowing the yards for him in bikinis. You remember that? And so the guy, I mean, these girls mowed yards for him. He had the business, and these girls wore bikinis, so people were hiring them to come mow their yard. They wore bikinis as they cut their yard. Well, do you know why? Because people will buy the product. Let me give you my determination from the Scripture. The Bible tells me, and I, in this phrase, that the exposure of the thigh to public eye is nakedness. That really is the kind of idea. You only build steps to the altar. But after I preached this 13 years ago, somebody came up to me that time and said, you know what you're saying is neck to knee. I said, well, I guess you're right. That's a good definition, isn't it? Neck to knee. Be covered neck to knee. In a sense, the clothing could, the tunics were sleeveless. Well, you know, a lot of women can go without sleeves. It just depends on how tight the cut is and all that. Right? Guys can go without sleeves, but you have to cover the chest, the abdomen, and the loins and the thighs. Cover that, you're doing good. I believe biblically. Cover neck to knee. You say, well, what if I have the clothing? But you have to be careful the type of clothing, don't you? Loose clothing that would expose those would-be covered areas. Then you have to be careful about that. If I popped on a T-shirt that was torn all the way down to the side, I might have a T-shirt on, but if it's all floppy and baggy and everything, and everybody can see as if I don't have a T-shirt on, then what am I doing? It's the same as not having one just about, isn't it? And so you have to be very careful. It's like the low neck cuts on women, you know, V-cuts and all that, backless dresses, belly cut, is that what they call that thing, you know, where I've seen girls, you know, they wear the top, and then their shirt stops here, and then they have their pants or shorts or whatever they got on, but you can see their midsection and their belly. You say, well, they're dressed, mostly, but biblically, wouldn't they be considered naked? They would, because they're exposing their midsection. And so don't expose the midsection. Clothing that reveals would be covered areas are improper. Split skirts, I've mentioned those before. Got to be very careful about split skirts, split dresses, men's shirts that are low buttoned. And I remember seeing some guys, you know, that they'd unbutton their shirt, you know, they don't have one button. I don't even know why they even try to button it. And they're trying to expose their chest. But you know, you have to be careful what you wear, because dresses, skirts, shorts, anything that rides up when you're sitting can expose. And so if you have something that's decent when you're standing, if you sit and it rides all the way up and you can see your thigh all the way to your hip, then what are you doing? You're still exposing yourself. You say, but they're good when I'm standing up. But what are you doing when you sit down? So as long as you stand up, I guess you're doing all right. If you sit, then you're going to expose yourself. You're going to make yourself available to being naked, and you can promote lust a whole lot more with that. Again, with this idea in mind, I'd have to say that topless men are considered naked. Now, I don't know what guy, I've never met a guy yet that got together that played basketball, didn't play shirts and skins. And I remember doing that for years and years and years, playing shirts and skins. But normally, it's just a bunch of guys out, and I wouldn't have a problem playing shirts and skins if it's just a bunch of guys. But I'd still have to say, according to the Bible, the skins are naked, biblically. But it might be acceptable. Well, we used to play shirts and skins, but then when a woman would come in or come in the area, we put our shirts on, because we weren't going to expose ourselves to the women. Well, you're going to have to look at these scriptures, and you're going to have to make a determination. What does God say? What does the Bible say? How does that apply to me? The last thought I want to leave with you is this. You know, and the world has changed so much, even in my short lifetime. And nakedness is more and more and more. And it's without thought. But you say, well, it's appropriate. I can be like this, dress like this, and it doesn't matter. It does matter, and you need to take heed and let the Scripture speak to your heart. And be convicted by that, and you place limits on there that the Bible places. But doesn't the world place restriction on nakedness? You know, even lost people know it's wrong to be naked. They do. Or else there wouldn't be restrictions on nakedness. Now, they might have different places and lines. I mean, they have nude beaches you can go to, but they'll put signs up there, nude beaches, and certain people not under certain ages or whatever. There's all kinds of things. The strip joints, that's legal. They can go in there and do that. But you watch TV, watch the news, they use a lot of that blur, don't they? You know why? Because they're not allowed to show certain things on television. Because it's over the line. It's naked. And so forth. The world knows that there's a shame to being naked. And yet, our society is to the place of disrobe. Take off as much as you can. The Bible teaches us otherwise. I really do believe the Bible definition is neck to knee. That's a good definition for it. And keep that covered, you'll be doing good. And you won't provoke people to sin. And you cover it with conservative clothing, and you know what? Don't accentuate shape and figure, and you'll be doing good, because we're responsible for the way we behave. Well, I knew this would take a little bit longer than normal, but we wanted to share this with you. Summer's on, and want to be dressing appropriately, and you say, well, I can't go swimming anymore. You know, ladies, just put a shirt on. Put a T-shirt over your suit. You know, you're going to have to apply it your own way. But I'm telling you what the Bible has to say, and that's what it seems to me. If you can prove it different, let me know. But that's what I believe it is in the Bible teaching on nakedness. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word, and I know this was a delicate subject, and I pray that you would just apply it to our hearts and help us to know and to be the kind of people you'd have us to be, and to forgive us where we fall short, and just cause us to be faithful. We love you tonight, and we honor you, and we pray that this song as we close tonight would be to your praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?